is Joy, coming to you live in Riley's mind. Make some noise!
Yay.
Sadness is in the house! It's anger!
Let me at him!
We gotta get our mouth guard, people!
Fear!
No, that's not Alice!
Disgust! Glad to have her on our team.
Our little girl's growing up so fast.
Ow! Sorry!
It should be nothing but smooth sailing.
Hello. I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
A new emotion.
Oh, I'm sorry. We wanted to make such a good first impression.
What do you mean, we?
I'm envy.
Look at your hair.
Oh, yeah, not happening.
That's on we.
On what?
It's what you would call the boredom.
What's your name, big fella?
That's embarrassment.
Welcome to headquarters, embarrassment. Oh, we're doing a fit. No. Oh, nope. Going high. Oh, you got a real sweaty palm there, buddy.
Look, we all have a job to do. I plan for the future.
You want to sit with us?
These girls are so cool. We can't let her know we're excited.
I got this.
Joy, I'm just curious. Maybe, I could
Thank you.
Help.
Not now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not going to haunt us for the rest of our lives at all.
Are you feeling all right?
I know change is scary.
Let's do this.
Hey, Riley.
But we need new friends or we'll be totally alone in high school. That would be old in with the new. Riley's life requires more sophisticated emotions than all of you.
You can't just bottle us up.
We are suppressed emotions.
Let Operation New Riley begin.
You aren't packed yet?
I'm the worst!
Well, that's a preview of the next 10 years.
Come on! Riley needs us. Have I ever steered you wrong before?
Many times.
What is that?
It's the sarcasm!
Sarcasm?
Boy, are we so lucky we ran into you guys!
Boy, are we so lucky we ran into you guys!
Wow, those guys are jerks.
Wow, those guys are jerks.
All right. So I was wondering last week, I'm way too loud there, Corey, what the vote would have been on the, this is the Viewer's Choice Award, is Inside Out 2, and I was kind of wondering if we only had two choices, what the movie would have been. I thought this would be a real easy movie to use because we did Inside Out, the original one, about 10 years ago, and a great movie, and I'm like, oh, this will be fun. And sometimes these movies, even the animated ones, cut pretty close to home, and I've been very anxious lately, and so it was just like, oh my goodness, this is really rough. Anyway, in 2015, Disney, Pixar, released the animated movie Inside Out, the first one. How many of you guys saw the original movie? Okay, you don't remember? It was that good, you don't remember? It was good. And in the first film, we were introduced to a young girl named Riley, whose family had just moved to a new city. Any of you guys ever have to move out of town to a new town when you were a kid? It's not easy, is it? And so in that movie, we watched as Riley processed that difficult life event, and we watched through the perspective of all of her emotions who were living inside of her head, namely disgust and fear and anger and sadness. I think we got a picture of them that we can put up here on the screen. Yep. And, of course, joy. Joy is the main character. And I think you really have to give credit to the folks at Pixar for coming up with this, just such a unique and fun way of communicating such a really complex topic as how our emotions all work together as we learn and grow. Anyway, fast forward to the new movie. Riley is no longer a child. She's just turned 13, teenage years, and she's entering into the wild world of adolescence, which most of you know brings a lot of changes and challenges that are pretty profound, physical changes, emotional changes, relational changes. And so this is all just happening pretty much overnight in the film. And we're going to, in this next clip that we're going to watch, you're just going to see how the emotions in the life of Riley just get amped up. So there's a one big life issue that we're going to see in this film. So why don't we go ahead and roll that clip.
Riley!
Oh my gosh!
We're going to have so much fun!
All right.
right, who's ready for hockey camp?
Okay, until we can figure this out, nobody touch the console unless you really need to.
So, big weekend for us. What do you want to do?
Well, we could finally clean out the garage, or actually, we could stand
up. How great is next year going to be? Coach Roberts' team has been state champs, like, every year. And Val Ortiz is the captain now.
This Valentina Ortiz obsession is out of control.
She made the Firehawks when she was only a freshman.
That's really hard. All we have to do is be super awesome at camp. Coach will put us on the team, and we'll all be Firehawks.
Wait, what was that? What was what? We got a look. I don't like this.
What?
You're paranoid.
I never miss a look.
Enhance 224, 176. Track right, zoom in, right there.
So?
She's hiding something.
But what?
What is she doing?
She's looking at our look.
No, it's much more than that.
She looks the same to me.
Overlay and compare. See? Riley then, Riley now. Riley then, Riley now.
Oh, it's so obvious.
But what does it mean?
She knows we're hiding something.
What is happening right now?
I don't know. I don't know.
I can't take this anymore. You spilled the tea.
Coach Roberts isn't going to be our coach next year.
Please.
We got assigned to a different high school.
Aha!
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. No big deal.
This is a huge deal.
Is she serious right now? How long have they
been? We can't go to high school without Bree and Grace.
We don't know anybody.
We'll still get to hang out.
And we'll have this weekend.
Which means we'll get one last time playing on the same team.
Friends of forever, right? Yeah, of course.
I can't wait to get to the ring.
When do we get our schedules?
Oh, this is so sad.
No, wait, sadness!
No. Just keep it together until we're out of the car.
Here we are. This looks really cool. Are you sure you don't need an assistant coach? Because I am available.
Hell.
No. All right. We'll see you in a few days. Don't miss us too much.
Okay, bye.
Wait, Riley, are you sure you have everything? Stick?
Yes.
Gloves?
Yes.
You have your phone?
Yes, of course.
Fully charged?
Yeah, it's like 50.
What?
That it's fine.
Okay. Call us if you need us. I love you. Go get him.
Okay. Love you guys.
Don't forget the deodorant.
Mom!
Bye, monkey.
Okay. Now.
It's okay. We need this.
At the very end of the original film, headquarters, that's what they call inside of Riley's head, they got a brand new console in headquarters. I don't know if any of you guys remember that long in the first movie, but there was a particular button on it. Anybody remember what that button said? Puberty. Yeah, and they said that one of them said, I got a feeling that's important. I love how they brought that back in this movie. They've got this new console, and one night they wake up and that light is flashing, and suddenly Riley's world is changing. And they don't really know how to, actually, that light flashes, the team comes in and they replace everything, including now they've got another console. That seems a little bit touchy. And so they're not, go figure, it seems, the emotions seem a little bit touchy with a teenager. And so they're like really trying to like lay off the console because they're not sure how to handle it. And so you're just getting into these new feelings, and this is a new ground for the emotions in Riley's head. And Joy is, in the first movie, Joy has learned how to, well, whoever controls the console sort of controls Riley's well-being. And Joy really is the leader, and she also learned how to share and help and kind of guide that process with the other emotions. And these original emotions kind of have this figured out now. They've got this down to a science, and then this new life stage comes in and it just throws everything off. And they're still trying to figure it out, and you could see from that scene how they're trying to hold everything together. And Riley is off to this hockey camp. This is a big deal for Riley. Her little league hockey team, or whatever you want to call it, middle school team, was doing really well, and the varsity coach invited her and her two best friends to be a part of this hockey camp. And as you saw in the car, if they make varsity, it's going to kind of set up their whole high school career, and it's very exciting. Only now she has to deal with the fact that her two best friends are moving as well. And so you just feel the tension. It's kind of building in here. But, you know, you gotta remember, like, Joy's got this. She's at the helm. She's at the controls. She's got the other emotions. They've figured out how to work together. So the only thing that could screw this up was if a whole bunch of new emotions show up, right? So let's go ahead and watch that clip.
Okay.
Everybody act regular.
It's Valentina Ortiz.
We gotta say something.
Hey. Hi. I'm Val.
I know. You're the varsity captain. You set the all-time goal record as a junior. Your favorite color's red and your skates...
What are we saying?
You're so uncool.
Why are we still holding her?
Like me.
Oh, you're the one Coach told us about. Riley. From Michigan, right?
It's Minnesota, sweetie.
No. We cannot correct Val Ortiz.
Yeah, that's me, Riley, from good old Michigan.
Orange? Who made the console orange?
Do I look orange?
I didn't touch it.
Orange is not my color.
Not me.
Hello, everybody. Oh, my gosh. I am just such a huge fan of yours. And now here I am meeting you face to face. Okay, how can I help? I can take notes, get coffee, manage your calendar, walk your dog, carry your things, watch you sleep.
Wow, you have a lot of energy. Maybe you could just stay in one place.
Anything. Just call my name and I'm here for you.
Okay, love that. And what was your name again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can get ahead of myself. I'm anxiety. I'm one of Riley's new emotions and we are just super jazzed to be here. Where can I put my stuff?
What do you mean we?
So, folks at Pixar, they kind of just demonstrate this change in Riley's life by introducing new characters, and chief among them is anxiety. But there's also envy. I think I got a picture here. There we go. Envy, embarrassment, and ennui, which is, as they say, the boredom. Any of you guys remember when your kids were going through, like, the boredom was first coming out? Like, so we had this thing in our family where the kids would just say, I'm bored, there's nothing to do. And I would say, well, good, we finally reached that spot where we can gather up all your toys and take them to Goodwill because you don't want to play with those anymore, and they didn't want that, they just wanted something fun. But here's the thing about boredom and all these emotions. Boredom is kind of like we think of it as a bad thing, but it's sort of a necessary thing because it's what kind of sparks creativity in kids. And if you look at the names of these emotions, how many of those emotions would you say are what we generally think of as positive emotions? Yeah, right? Anger. Oh, wait a minute. That was the teenage boy in me speaking. Joy is really the only positive emotion, right? The other emotions we tend to think of as negative. I mean, even the original emotions, anger, sadness, fear, disgust. And then you bring in embarrassment, boredom, envy. That's definitely something that we think. I mean, that's one of the seven deadly sins, right? And then anxiety. And what's interesting is that without joy, none of the other emotions can be healthy without joy's participation somehow in this process. And I think that there's a lot of truth in this movie. There was a lot in this movie. I hate it when we watch all these great real-life movies, you know, with real people, and then you watch a cartoon and you're like, man, that was really deep. But it was. And if you didn't, you know, if you can't stick with an animated movie long enough to get the deepness, I get it. I'm not going to pick on you about that. But it was deep. And so inside of Riley's mind, these new emotions are coming around, and they've got to figure out how to work together. And this film is all about the tension that arises as joy and anxiety kind of wrestle for control of Riley's thoughts and actions as she enters her formative teenage years. And That, I think that makes this film even more timely because as a culture, we are more anxious than ever before. I don't know if you guys feel that or if you realize that. We are more anxious than ever before. It's not my opinion. Over the last couple decades, especially the last 5 years since COVID, anxiety and anxiety-related health issues have risen dramatically in our culture, especially among children and teens, but not exclusively. It's affected all age groups, but in particular children and teens. And I think that one of the things that this film did really well was in how it handled reconciling the struggle between joy and anxiety that I think many of us have dealt with, or maybe you are dealing with. And I don't think the people at Disney and Pixar are really all that concerned with communicating biblical truth, but they did work very hard in this film and in both of the Inside Out films to lean into and communicate with the professional emotional health workers to try to make the interplay between these animated emotions and real-life characters is authentic and true to life as possible as far as how our emotions work, and I applaud them for their efforts. But there was the tension. Well, you know, I'm going to watch. I've kind of front-loaded the clips today, and work with me on this one because just work with me on this one. And I can't really remember what clip is next, but I know it's in there. So why don't you play that next clip, and then I'll go to our scripture verse.
Now, I know new emotions can sometimes feel unhelpful at first, and you just want to say to them, why are you so annoying? But I've learned that every emotion is good for Riley. Even this turkey.
Okay, fine.
Cool. Lead the way. All right. Grab your stuff and follow me.
Oh, but what about our friends?
Val is our future.
Yes, I agree completely. We need new friends or else we'll be totally alone in high school. Right, Joy?
Well, I mean, maybe.
Here we go.
Wait up. Thanks for showing me around. Wait, why did you do that?
I'm sorry, what did I do?
We just left our best friends behind.
But what about the new ones that we're about to meet?
No, okay, these next 3 days need to be about Bree and Grace.
Joy, the next 3 days could determine the next 4 years of our lives.
Now, I think that's overstating things a bit.
Oh, no, no. Joy is so old school.
What?
Look, we all have a job to do. You make Riley happy. Sadness makes her sad. Fear protects her from the scary stuff she can see. And my job is to protect her from the scary stuff she can't see. I plan for the future. Oh, I can show you. You're gonna love this.
Oh, I was using that as a cup holder.
Okay, so my team has run all the data and we're looking at the following likely scenarios. First, we don't take this camp seriously and we goof off with Bree and Grace. Riley looks really uncool in front of Val. She fails to impress the coach, does not become a firehawk, and finally arrives at high school. She has no one. She eats alone and only the teachers know her name.
Ew.
Okay, you and I are gonna be friends.
Oh, this is a sad story.
It's a ridiculous story. Look, again, love the energy, but you're being silly. None of this will actually happen.
Right. Whatever you say, you're the boss.
Oh, remember when we all finally came up to headquarters?
That was like 30 seconds ago, Nostalgia.
Yeah, those were the days.
Nostalgia.
You aren't supposed to be here yet. You still have about 10 years, 2 graduations, and a best friend's wedding before you're invited, but I will keep you in the loop, I promise.
All right, how's that? Good? All right. So you see the tension that's building between between anxiety and joy. And one of the things that you'll see is how anxiety builds these scenarios that are often kind of worst-case scenarios that she's projecting onto Riley. But I was thinking about this tension between joy and anxiety, and there's an obvious passage of scripture that I figure, oh, well, I'm sure I'll use this. In fact, I pretty much knew last week when we did the vote, oh, I'm going to use this passage of scripture, but I didn't really think about it in the way that I thought I would. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open in the New Testament to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. It's in the New Testament, like I said, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. predictions of... Galatians, Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians. Oh my goodness. I was anxious before today, before I started. Getting worse. You'll forget the order of Scripture. Everyone will laugh at you. Do any of you in here deal with anxiety? I don't want you to raise your hand. I know I'm not alone. In Philippians chapter 4, the book is called Philippians because it's a letter that was written from the Apostle Paul to a church that he planted in an area called Philippi, and that's where we get Philippians from. And he's writing this letter to these people, but here's what I want you to understand about this. Number one, he's writing from a prison cell. Paul is, he's under house arrest. So he may not be in a prison cell, he may be in a home somewhere, but he's under arrest. And he is writing to new believers, new converts to Christianity, who are facing persecution for their faith. Because they've become Christians, they're facing persecution in the public square. They're not able to do things like purchase food and clothing in the way that they were used to, and they're having to scramble. And Paul, and because of that, I think you can imagine what kind of stresses that would bring, stresses within the household, stresses within the church and friends and neighbors. And in verse 4, it says Paul is giving his final exhortation to these new believers, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you like verse 7? How many of you are sleeping? Okay, if you don't like verse 7, hopefully the reason you don't like it is because you're just being intellectually honest with yourself, and you're like, I haven't figured out how that works yet. Because as I read this passage, what Paul is saying here, it sounds really, really good in theory. But in practice, as far as I've experienced in my life, it's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult. Anybody else relate with that? I'm going to just break it down again. He starts out in verse 4 by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, what about when you're under arrest? Rejoice. Well, what about when, your life is difficult? Rejoice. I'm just supposed to be joyful, Paul, when things are going bad. That's just a choice. It's just something I do. And he's saying, rejoice. Rejoice always. And then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And I think gentleness, as opposed to anger, is one of those emotions that tends to be available to us when we're not tense, when we're not stressed, when we're not anxious, right? Any of you guys find it, especially men, you find it real easy to be gentle when you're anxious, when you're stressed, when things are rough in your life? No, it's not easy to be gentle. That's why, and this isn't only for men, but I think especially for dads in this room, especially for dads of girls, but I think it's true for dads of guys and as well, and if you've got both boys and girls, gentleness is a very important quality. And it's also, I wasn't planning on talking about gentleness, but it's important for you to think about this a little bit. When you get angry or when you get stressed, which tends to happen to us, gentleness is one of the first things that goes out the window. And so mental note there how Paul connects this with rejoicing and this gentleness. But he says, do not be what? In verse 8, anxious, anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What's difficult is this. So yesterday, I was sitting at home and I was working on this message, and I thought I knew what I was going to be talking about, and everything seemed like it was coming together. And then I got a text message from a friend, and that we were planning on joining at a conference later this year. And I said, he said something about, well, I guess God had other plans. And I'm like, are you guys not able to go now? And he's like, well, you didn't hear? They canceled the conference. And I'm like, nope, I didn't hear. In fact, I just bought plane tickets. And so, like, then the good news is, maybe it's the good news, is that I did, for once in my life, I bought flight insurance or trip insurance because I'm like, I don't know what's why, but I'm not sure if canceled events are covered. Anyway, if you know me very well, like, you probably know that when I get derailed, when I get stressed, I have a hard time kind of getting refocused. And so anxiety in that way can really throw me. I tend to ruminate on things, and it's hard to get my thoughts back on track. And if you can relate with that, I'm sorry, and also I understand. That sort of threw me, and then I got into the message, and as you can maybe tell, like, this message just took off on me. I felt like, you know, thanks for voting for this movie, because this should be a whole sermon series. There was so much in this movie, and I just couldn't seem to rein it in and decide, where am I going with this? And so I went to bed late last night, and I woke up, I don't know, probably six times last night at least, and every time I woke up, I had a hard time falling back to sleep, and I was anxious. And where was I going with that? I just wanted you to know I was anxious, I think. That's. Oh, there. And so what I told myself, I was like, look, you can't preach this if you can't live this. And so it's like every time I woke up, I'd start praying. And it's just like, God, I thank you for all the things that you've, the ways that you've worked in my life. And I tried, you know, counting my blessings and thinking about the past. And I, what happened, I kept coming, like there was this battle going on for the console in my head and in my heart. And it was a struggle. And that's the way it is with a lot of things in Scripture. Here's the thing. Paul says there's this peace which passes understanding, that when we have joy. In this movie, in both movies, joy is not always at the console. Right? There are times where other emotions step in. But what makes this, in the first movie, again, like I said, Joy recognized, like she said, that all emotions are valuable and they all have a role in the life of Riley. But in this movie, well, let's find out what happens in this movie. I think I have this clip. Let's go ahead and roll the next clip.
Camp. Now split yourselves down the middle. Team one on the right, team two on the left.
Let's do this.
One time on the same team, right?
Right.
Val wants us!
But we promised Bree and Grace.
Joy, we have to plan for the future. Come on, Riley, move. Move those feet. Val's on team one. You want to be on team one? Let's go.
She made a promise to her friends. She's not going to break it.
Oh, you're so right, Joy.
What are you doing? No, you can't have that. Put that back.
Joy, I don't mean to overstep, but it has to be done.
Wait. No!
No. I know change is scary, but what? Michigan.
That is not Riley.
I know. It's a better Riley.
A Riley who won't be alone next year.
We build her a new sense of self. A brand new her.
No, no, no! You can't go down there with that.
Over my dead flaming body.
I am truly sorry. I was so looking forward to working with you guys.
What do you think you're doing?
Off, you.
Riley's life is more complex now. It requires more sophisticated emotions than all of you. You just aren't what she needs anymore, Joy.
How dare you, madam?
You can't just bottle us up.
Oh, that's a great idea. It's not forever. It's just until Riley makes varsity, or until she turns 18, or maybe forever. I don't know. We'll have to see. Okay. Don't worry, Riley. You're in good hands. Now, let's change everything about you.
All right, might have helped a little if I'd set that up for you, but if you didn't see the movie, you had all week, so it's not my fault. So what happens is, one of the things that I appreciate in this movie is that anxiety wasn't really a villain. She was presented as the antagonist. And you might get the feeling in the beginning of the film like, oh, she's bad. But the reality is she thought she had Riley's best interest at heart. And she... the truth is she was misunderstood, and she needed to learn how to work with the other emotions, especially joy. And I think that that's the case when I read Philippians. I think there's something true about that as well. Here's the thing. When it says in verse 6, do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Is it a sin to be anxious? I think there's some hopeful no's out there. No. One of the things that we have to understand is the nuance that we see in Scripture. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And so with our emotions, like take fear, for instance. The Bible says, do not fear, pretty much more than any other command in the Scripture. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. You read it over and over again in the Scriptures. And yet we know that fear actually is a healthy response sometimes to stimuli. It is... If you have no fear, any of you guys see the movie Free Solo? I'm not talking about the guy from Star Wars, but the guy who climbed El Capitan with no ropes, just kind of went out there in his Volkswagen minibus and decided, I'm going to climb this mountain. Well, the guy that did this, he's a rock climber. He, as they've studied him, psychologists, he doesn't have, this is terribly uneducated of me, but I'll just say it the way that I can. He doesn't have the fear gene. Like he has no get a scared of. he lacks what most of us would have when we look at a huge cliff and we say, I'm just going to climb that thing, and if I slip one time, I'm going to fall to my death. He doesn't have that, truthfully, people that are like that, usually that's kind of how they meet their demise, is doing something that normal people would say, I don't think I'm going to do that. And so in that sense, fear is a healthy emotion for a reason, to alert us to danger and to help us to consider how we should respond to certain stimuli. The same thing is true of anxiety to some degree. Like if all of a sudden your plans for something very important change suddenly, and suddenly you're like, you just spent $800 on plane tickets, and you're like, am I going to get that money back? Anxiety is a natural first emotion. But here's what the Bible is talking about, and why I say there's nuance, is that to camp out in anxiety, to camp out in anxiousness is not healthy. To camp out in fear is not healthy. There's this idea of getting stuck in these emotions, and because what happens is we tend to dwell on. And that's what you see with anxiety in this film, is she's always presenting these worst-case scenarios to Riley. She's thinking, if I can show her everything that goes wrong, she'll make the right decisions to avoid it. But the truth is, in our lives, when we get anxious, does that help us think better? Does it help calm us down? Does it affect the way that we treat one another? Certainly it does. And so what we see in Scripture is this idea that almost like what you see in the movie is that joy is supposed to come along and kind of take the console of your emotions and work with these other emotions. And I'm not talking about joy, the character in the movie. I'm talking about joy, and not just the human emotion of joy, because joy, as most of us think about it in our culture, is kind of synonymous with happiness, right? It's fleeting, it's fragile, it comes and goes. When disappointment comes in, joy goes out the window. But as you being believers of the word, as you read this book, is the joy that I just described in our culture the same as the joy that Paul tells us that we have in Christ? Is the same as the joy that Jesus talked about? Is there a difference in the joy that we are supposed to have as believers? Yeah. It's different, and it's because it is not based on our circumstances. It is based on something else. I know I'm running out of time. So let me, I want to point out two passages of scripture. Hopefully I can make this point. We're going to go to the other one. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why we have all these complex emotions. There you go. James said this. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Oh, what's the joy going to be? When you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Peter agrees with Paul and James. He says, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, why? So that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. The joy that Christians have, or are supposed to have, is not based on our circumstances. It is based on the sufficiency of Christ and the hope that we have in the gospel. And not only in the, when I say the gospel, I think most of us, again, you've heard me say this, tend to think end of the story, when we all get to glory, and when the roll is called up yonder, we'll be there, and then, you know what I'm saying? But the reality is, that should be for here and now as well. In fact, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 8, when he talked about, do I have Romans 8, 28? It's one of my slides there. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That God is at work in the now and the not yet. We live in the now and the not yet. The now is like the things that are true about us in Christ, that we are forgiven, that we have been set free from sin and death, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. Those things are true. And yet in the moment, we still wear this perishable body. We still live in a fallen, broken world and interact in that fallen, broken world. We still have the memory, muscle memory in our souls of how we lived before we were in Christ and what our tendencies are. And so, like, maturity has to happen. We have to grow. And so we have to learn to walk in the joy that has been provided for us. And so joy for the Christian is almost practiced. And we can only be joyful when we make ourselves aware of what is out there for us, what is at our disposal, what is coming, and what is true about us right now. C.S. Lewis, I think I have this quote, but I don't think I have it up there on the screen. I'm never going to find it. Why did I bring this up? Because I thought it was a great quote. But I don't remember what C.S. Lewis said. But he said something really profound about joy. So look it up. C.S. Lewis quotes on joy. Later. I know some of you have cell phones because whoop, whoop. Okay. Where are we going? I'm not going to show you any more movie clips because we're out of time. See, I told you I had phones. It's okay. I'm very gracious, especially when I'm the reason we're late. I'll go this direction to wrap it up. So I was reading an article in the New Yorker not too long ago. I think it was the New Yorker, and it talked about how there's this thing that's happening in our culture that emotional health professionals are kind of troubled with, so they kind of sound in the alarm on this, that people have begun to identify themselves with their diagnosis. You know what I mean by that? So, like, people are, if they struggle with anxiety, they would say, "I'm anxious." It's just who I am. Like, I'm a person who struggles with anxiety, and I don't know exactly all the ways that you'd want to look at that, but people's dysfunction and their deficiencies are what they are saying identify them. And when you look at Scripture, you see a completely different story. You might not say, "Well, I identify myself by my diagnosis or by my the emotional unhealthiness that I have in myself, but does it control your thoughts? Does it affect who you are and how you think about the way life is supposed to work and the way you treat other people? Because really, there's only one thing that's supposed to define us. And it's not, we are not defined by our deficiencies. Again, we are defined by God's sufficiency. And Romans 8, we'll go back to that one in a second, says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I really shouldn't even need to go any further than that. The most important truth about us as believers who are in Christ is that we are children of God. Now, I know that not all of us had great earthly parents. Not all of us are great earthly parents. But if you're not a great earthly parent and you want to be, then when you think about God, you think about where you fall short, he doesn't. And that's who he is as your heavenly father, beyond anything you can imagine. And he has said, you are my child. And if you had a great earthly dad or mom, and you think about all the things that made them so great, and you say, and God is so far beyond that. This is who he is, and he has called us his children. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Go to the next verse for me, Matt. Do I have the next verse? Maybe I don't. Oh, I hate it when I do this. Okay, so this is a part of the application, and I'm going to invite the team to come up, and they're going to close us here in just a second. What do you do when you're feeling anxious, and you know that you're supposed to have joy in your life? Well, what you do is you bring joy back to the console, so to speak. And the way we do this is back to our opening scripture. This is how Paul said you do this. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We talked about this in a series earlier, or at the end of last year, beginning of this year, I don't remember, but we talked about the mind shift and how what we think is so important to who we are. And most of us, we are stuck in what's known as rut thinking. We have pathways in our mind and that we tend to follow as we think about issues and as we respond to certain stimuli, because it's the way that we've always done it. But when you came into Christ, you were a new creation. And now you need to set your mind on the things that are the things of Christ. You need to take your eyes off of the things of this earth, set them on the things above, and set your heart and mind on those things. And so you need to create new pathways. And the good news is this. Like, the Bible is not a book that says, like, hey, you're going to learn things as you go to school about how the human body works and about the sciences, and then you're going to read the Word of God, and it's going to completely go the other direction from all the stuff that you learn in school. That's not the way this works. In fact, more often than not, it depends on kind of where you start out with. If you start out here, and then you get your education, you kind of realize how what you learn out there sort of backs up what this is already saying. Or sometimes what you learn out there, and then you learn this, and you can say, oh, I see how this fits together. And one of the things that science teaches us is that you can build new pathways in your mind. And it's a practice. It's a choice. And the Bible backs that up as well. I mean, Paul talked about this. He talks about it right here, what we focus our hearts and minds on so that we have the peace of Christ. But he also talked about this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, when he talked about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Understand something. The renewing of your mind is not merely a mystical process. It's not merely something that God, a supernatural process, something that God does in spite of you or outside of you. As with most things in the Christian life, it's something that God does with you, for you, alongside of you. So you join him in this process. Paul wouldn't say, do not be conformed to the ways ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, if there was nothing you could do in that process. He didn't say, pray that God transforms your mind. He said, do this. And when we do this, when we put our mind on the things above, God joins with us in that process. And that's where the supernatural kicks in, because he can do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And there is a joy that may take its hands off the console, but will never leave the room. Do you know what I'm saying? There is a peace that passes human understanding because it cannot be taken away from you. And your identity cannot be changed because of who you are in Christ, and his joy belongs to you. And you just need to learn to walk in it. I'm going to pray, and we're going to close in a song together. Father, there's just so much as we look into your word, even after 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 plus years of reading your word and thinking about it, it is just a well that never runs dry. And your thoughts are so far beyond our thoughts that there are always things that we can learn. And God, I thank you that for those whose life right now is like riding the crest and just at a great place, that in you there's even more than they can imagine. But I thank you even more so for the person that is feeling crushed, that is feeling down, that there is a joy that is available to them. And God, I pray that we would be the kind of church that not only leans into every resource at our disposal in this culture, but that truly believes you and takes you at your word, and that walks in joy and focuses on the things that are true and noble and right, and that we are able to edify and encourage and hold one another up in this journey. God, I thank you that you can do far more in the hearts of those that are in this room this morning, even from just the words of your scripture that were read, that your word will never return void. God, I thank you for mornings like this where my brain is scrambled and my spirit is anxious. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that my joy has not been taken from me, even as I look around me and say, how am I going to respond to this? You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, I just ask that you be near. In Jesus' name.
Sing on me, for could rescue me from my pain? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God. Only my holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only God. Sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
Thanks for singing and praising his name this morning with us. God bless you as you go. Hope you have a great day. We will see you next week.